Leaning Toward Wisdom, episode 4085.
Taking time. Right when I get up, the world is crashing down. She thinks I'm doing fine. I'm an open book, she's a mystery. I'm black coffee, she's sweet tea. You probably wonder why she's with me. I'm grateful for everything I've got. She is everything I'm not.
Leaning Toward Wisdom, the podcast. Today, the big business of conquering fear. The art of doing what you're great at. You're listening to Jacko Pierce from a 2008 record, available on iTunes for $5.99. The record is Promise of Summer. The name of the song is Everything I'm Not.
So much when she says nothing at all. My girl, she says so much when she says nothing at all. I'm an open book, she's a mystery. I'm black coffee, she's sweet tea. You probably wonder why she's with me. I'm grateful for everything I've got. I'm an open book, she's a mystery. I'm black coffee, she's sweet tea. You probably wonder why she's with me. I'm grateful for everything I've got. She is everything I'm not.
Welcome inside the Yellow Studio. My name is Randy Cantrell, your host here. At Leaning Toward Wisdom, you can find the show notes for today's episode and all the episodes by visiting the website, leaningtowardwisdom.com. Today is February the 8th, 2016. Been a while since I've released an episode. My apologies. I've got a good excuse. Been busy doing some work, trying to recover from coughing up a lung or two. And wishing that I had a third or a fourth lung to spare. I'm Popeye the Sailor Man. I am what I am, and that's all what I am. I'm Popeye the Sailor Man. First uttered by the most famous of cartoon sailors, Popeye, in a 1933 cartoon. Yes, he sung it. No, I will not. And aside from his spinach-induced strength, we may mostly admire his self-awareness. To know what he is. As you heard the Jacko Pierce guys singing, Everything I'm Not, she is everything I'm not. Some level of self-awareness that he knew who he was, he knew what he was, he knew what she was. What are you best at? What do you suck at? What comes really easily to you? What's really hard? There are things that energize you and there are things that de-energize you. I have taken the DISC profile multiple times in my life, and I think I've had a different result every time. Not sure, but I think so. Mostly, I've shown up as high D, with I and C being not too far behind. Dominant and cautious, coupled with interactive and security or stable. Yeah, I mean, honestly, it never did tell me a whole lot. I've also taken the Myers-Briggs profile multiple times during my life. There's a lot of, I don't know, I've read recently a lot of criticisms about the Myers-Briggs. I don't know. I don't put tremendous faith in any of these. I do find them entertaining and interesting. Quite often, the results on the Myers-Briggs, they have been more alike, though, than the DISC profile. Mostly INFJ, which some have translated as advocates. And when I examined the strengths and the weaknesses of the INFJ profile, some seem to fit well, some don't. The strengths are listed as creative, insightful, inspiring, and convincing, decisive, determined, and passionate, and altruistic. Yeah, okay. Okay, I can go with that. Well, I mean, who couldn't go with that, right? I mean, they all seem pretty awesome. The INFJ weaknesses are sensitive, extremely private, perfectionist, always need to have a cause and can burn out easily. Yeah, okay. Well, let's tap the brakes on a little bit of that. I'm private, but I wouldn't describe myself as extremely private. I mean, come on, I'm talking to you. And I've got this podcast and other podcasts and a private Facebook group for the LTW crowd. As for a perfectionist, I am driven to get it right, but I'm not your classic perfectionist who's driven by the details of it all. You know, the person that's just stuck, they can't move forward because everything's just not so-so. I'm not that. I'm not that guy. Now, there's plenty of evidence that the Myers-Briggs has no validity. You can find a lot of naysayers on all the other assessments as well. And as I said, I don't put tremendous stock in any one of them. I've taken other assessments, just as you probably have, and they have revealed strengths like intuition and empathy and communication. Maybe you and I, maybe we share some of those same strengths. Maybe your strengths are polar opposites of mine. I've also figured out a few things on my own because I am, after all, a dot connector. Your life has hopefully taught you some things about yourself. Life's successes and life's failures have certainly taught you some things. Well, do these assessments reveal things that we don't know, or do they reveal the things that we mostly feel are true about ourselves? Well, we think they're true. They may not be true, but we think they are. I don't know. I kind of find them to be fun exercises in self-awareness. I do find them helpful in that regard. Whether technically what they're telling us is true or not, okay, others can argue that. Some supposedly assess personality type, others communication styles. And then there are those that measure strengths. And those are the ones that I honestly have found the most helpful and the most useful. Strengths finders, VIA, and others take an aim at helping us better understand the areas that we may be able to really leverage in our life. Well, maybe, maybe not.
Thank you, I'm okay, I guess. I just need a little rest. I'll catch up on my sleep tonight. I ain't complaining, that's life. I've got blueberries in the yard. Gonna pick them when they're ripe. Another season, that's life. Wipe that tear out of your eye. Behind the clouds, the sun still shines.
He is Paul Thorne, a 2010 record. Pimps and Preachers. The name of the song is That's Life. I'd tell you to get it at iTunes, but it's not there. Don't know why. Maybe it's at Google Play. I haven't checked. I didn't check Amazon either. Paul Thorne, Pimps and Preachers. The name of the song is That's Life. And when we take these kinds of assessments, you know, life probably is a better teacher. Yeah, I mean, introspection's great and all that. And life can teach us a whole lot more than assessments or exams. But we do have to pay attention. And unfortunately, our paying attention is sometimes clouded. And that's where life, coupled with assessments like StrengthsFinder or DISC or Myers-Briggs, can maybe can help us. I mean, it can give us a more critical and objective measurement, even if they're not just spot on. You think back over your life and you begin to examine where you got it right and where you got it wrong. All those missteps, all the great choices, all your foolishness, and all your wisdom. And you think about your personal life. You think about your relationships. There's your home life, your family. And for some of us, it's mostly good. For others, it may be filled with abuse, dysfunction, all sorts of boogeymen, hiding in darkened rooms. Because that's life. You remember your first crush? That blonde girl in the first grade? Okay, I admit it. My first girlfriend was a blonde. If you join the Secret Leaning Toward Wisdom Facebook group, you can see a picture of my first grade class, which includes a picture of me sitting directly behind her. And after you join, and there's a link over the website, leaningtowardwisdom.com, after you join, if you'll just scroll down to a post that is dated August the 9th, 2015, you'll see said photograph. It's pretty funny. A first grade class at Hayes Elementary School in Ada, Oklahoma. And there I sit. And it was in that very classroom that news came forth that President Kennedy had been assassinated. I remember it as though it happened 50 some odd years ago. You remember the first time you got ditched? You remember the first breakup? I mean, by the time you were graduating high school, you figured you had learned most of what you needed to know, right? I mean, the truth is, by 17, we are pretty stinking smart. Probably smarter than we're ever going to be. Well, we think so. And then there's our professional life. It probably began with a high school job, maybe. A paper route in middle school. Maybe we went around the neighborhood and we mowed lawns. And then there was working for a real boss. Yeah, you know, somebody other than your parents. Somebody, boy, that was eye-opening, wasn't it? I mean, we were used to our parents. We were used to teachers and coaches. I mean, we've got these adults. They've been telling us what to do all of our lives. Now we got a boss in a workplace. It's just a whole new dynamic. And couple them with our own hard work to know ourselves, and it's likely we think we know enough by now. Maybe not. And even if we do know enough about ourselves by this point, it doesn't mean that we know how to fix what ails us.
Turn into sand. For we rise and we fall and we crash on the coastline. But only our love will last till the end. Fortune is fleeting, time is deceiving. Our bodies are weak and they turn into dust. All following blindly, but love is like lightning. It strikes only worth. Throw your arms around each other and love one another, for it's only one life that we've got, and ain't it enough?
They are Old Crow Medicine Show, 2012 CD in my collection. Available at iTunes for $9.99, and the title of the record is Carry Me Back. The name of the song is what we felt when we were 17 or 18. Ain't it enough? Ain't it enough? Yeah, I mean, we figured this out, right? Our hard work, our experiences, our long 17 years on the planet. It's enough. We've learned plenty. I'm thinking in the next few episodes, I don't know about this for sure, but I may take you on a journey with me. Some stories where I take you along with me on a journey of ridding myself of head trash. And the one word that best describes the head trash is the reason for the title of today's show. It's just fear. Boy, when it comes to fear, ain't it enough?
Of stars just like diamonds all shining above. Oh, where the heavens are beaming and all the world's dreaming of peace everlasting, and ain't it enough? Ain't it enough to live by the ways of the world, to be part of the picture, whatever it's worth? Only one life that we've got, and ain't it enough? Ain't it enough?
Well, it has to be enough, because one life is all we have. But by the time we're 17... we think we've had enough. We've had enough learning. We've had enough experience. We've just had enough of it all to have figured it out. And of course, then time marches on and shows us, no, you really don't have anything figured out. What few things you thought you did have figured out, you've even got them wrong. Books jump out at me because, well, I'm a reader, and I was noticing all the books that I've got in my library that deal with some sort of fear, and that's what prompted today's show. I was looking around, and I thought, man, you know, fear is a big, big business because it's filling such a huge need. I don't care. I've got books about sales, leadership, entrepreneurship, making money, marketing, dieting. I mean, you name it. There are countless books on fixing what ails us, and many of them attempt to address the reason why we're broken to begin with. And that reason oftentimes is because we're afraid. Yeah, we're all afraid. And those cats who say, well, I ain't afraid of nothing. Yeah. Well, they clearly were afraid of learning proper grammar, but they're also hiding. Just yesterday, the Super Bowl, congratulations to the Denver Broncos for winning Super Bowl 50. I was rather pleased myself. Now, I appreciate Cam Newton and all the energy and the stuff that he brings. Yeah, he's 26. I'll cut him some slack. I was a fan of his until I saw a pre-game interview that they had sat down with him sometime prior to game day, obviously. Really cocky, man. I mean, just not an ounce of humility in this cat. And I thought, tap the brakes here, dude. We saw it, didn't we? So we saw a 26-year-old who was behaving poorly in that post-game interview. I mean, was not a gracious loser in any way, shape, or form. But you know, hey, he was cocky, he was brash, he was king of the world when he's winning. But he gets his brains beat out, and all of a sudden, here we are, right? Ain't afraid of nothing. Oh yeah, afraid of something. Afraid of something for sure. Well, clearly he wasn't looking forward to that press conference. Can't blame him there. But multi-million dollar athletes who claim they aren't afraid of anything are afraid. They may be hiding, but they're afraid because we are all afraid of plenty of things. What scares you?
Something in me would not turn around. Something in me would not turn around and run. Heard the
He is Ben Rector from a 2015 record called Brand New. The name of the song, Fear. When you hear Ben sing that song, do you think what I'm thinking? Man, I'm glad he conquered his fear so I could hear him play music. I mean, what if he had just stayed home in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and never ventured out to make it in music? I like Ben Rector. I think I've got all of his records now that I think about it. That's what fear does. It robs us. It robs others too. It robs the world. I didn't always see it like that. In fact, I truly confess that for years I struggled without diving deeply enough into the source of the fear and the negative impact that it was having. I'm obviously in grand company because the world is filled with people just like me, just like you, people who have bought into the drivel of pseudo-psychologists and self-help gurus who tell us to be more positive. Stop focusing on the negative. Believe that you can do it. And when we try that surface-level kind of work, we feel worse because when it doesn't work, and it often doesn't work because there's more to it than that, well, now we feel even worse because all of these books, all of these gurus, all this big business of helping us conquer fear, it doesn't work. Well, if it is working for everybody else, why can't I make this work? Because it doesn't work. It's because conquering this fear and getting beyond this head trash takes more work than simply holding a good positive thought. Our stories, man, our stories have been crafted in our head. And they have been held for as many years as we've been alive. Well, okay, for me, that's a very long time. You know, when you're old, ancient manuscripts, they're tough to alter. I'm working on it. Yes, we have to think differently, but thinking is just the beginning. It really is. I mean, when people tell us to just think more positively, all they're doing is adding to the noise of the universe that contributes to making matters worse. Because we hear all this and we think, well, I should be able to do this. Why is this so hard? Well, because it's not that easy. Because it is hard. It's not impossible, but it's hard. And people give us that simple advice, though, because that's what everybody wants. We want easy answers. Forget that it took us a lifetime to write this crazy story in our head, the one that's embedded in our brain since we were kids. Forget that we feel dread and anxiety and fear. Just tell yourself, I can do this. I can do it. Presto. And all of a sudden, it's all better. See? Easy. No, it's not. It's worse. It's worse because now you're beating yourself up because you think it must work since so many people are telling us to do it. It must work for them. Why isn't it working for me? I'll tell you why. Because you're failing again. That's what you're telling yourself. Listen, yes, you have to think. We have to think. You just have to keep thinking and deal with it.
Going to take
Yeah, she is Aretha. Aretha Franklin from a 1980 record, the Blues Brothers soundtrack. It's her hit record, Think. And it does give you freedom, too, when you think. I mean, how can you not be free when you're listening to Aretha? Aretha Franklin, the Blues Brothers soundtrack from 1980. I've got the CD, but you can buy it at iTunes for $9.99, and you should. If you're too young to have remembered the Blues Brothers, go to Netflix, do what you got to do, watch the movie. But the soundtrack is awesome. Really is awesome. Go to YouTube. I'm sure there are videos of Dan Aykroyd and John Belushi as the Blues Brothers. Yeah, you gotta think. Let your mind be free. Here's what I've learned so far about thinking. It's called awareness. I mean, think of it as recognition. We have to first be aware of what's happening. That's why Aretha's singing so passionately about this. You know, we gotta think. It's been likened to a camera. You know, we look at a photograph, and it's just one perspective that is created. One perspective created by a camera. We don't see the camera. What we see is we see the photograph. And it requires some intentional thinking for us to consider, okay, where is the camera during this shot? Because before we can alter our perspective or our outlook on something, we have to be aware of our present perspective. This is where I confess I didn't do enough deep thinking. That means we have to look closely and find the location of the camera, because that's what's determining our perspective. Until we see that, we can't hope to change the view. You hold your iPhone up to take a photograph or to shoot some video, and you're aiming to get whatever perspective you want. Works the exact same way in our head. And it takes some heavy lifting to get it right. If you don't believe me, ask the poor anorexic person who is skin and bones, but every time they go to the mirror, they see fat. Well, there's no fat to see. Well, they're convinced they see it. Good luck trying to convince them with logic. Good luck just putting them on a scale. Won't work. It won't work until they're ready to see reality. And that likely requires some serious professional help that goes far beyond the pale of this conversation and any abilities I might have to help. I mean, some of us, we have such extensive or serious head trash that we do need professional help. I think you ought to get that help. I think you ought to seek that help sooner than later. Well, because I just can't see any point in going through life tormented by an unrealistic, albeit damaging, perhaps deadly, perspective. I'm sorry to tell you this, but a 4-minute Brian Tracy video on self-esteem isn't good enough to get this job done. In fact, I would argue it may even take you down a deeper rabbit hole of despair. And I'm sure that's not Mr. Tracy's intent, but it is often the collective impact that these self-pronounced experts have on us, right? We buy into the notion that, well, we ought to have enough mental toughness. We ought to have enough resolve to just change our thinking. Yeah, it's tantamount to telling a poor person, get more money so you won't be poor anymore. Brilliant, brilliant advice. Of course, it doesn't answer the question, how? And so over time, we may feel like an even greater failure. We try what Brian Tracy and other self-help gurus tell us, and it doesn't work. And if we didn't feel badly enough about ourselves to begin with, now we've got one more thing to add to our long list of failures. And why do you think these cats write so many books and regurgitate the same kind of stuff day after day, month after month, year after year? And why do we continue to buy said books and pile them even higher and expand our bookshelves? Well, because if it works at all, it works for a moment in time, and then you got to go back and you got to get re-inspired, you know. Got to get the motivation back again. Well, it's because we're not dealing with it. It's just Band-Aid after Band-Aid after Band-Aid after Band-Aid. Meanwhile, the wound is getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And so over time, we may feel like an even greater failure. We try what Tracy and other self-help gurus tell us, and it does not work. And if we didn't feel badly about ourselves to begin with, well, now we've got one more thing. Just one more long list of failures. I've learned it's not willpower. Sorry to burst your bubble, Mr. Self-Help Guru, who prides himself on mental toughness and being all that in a bag of chips. There's just more to it than that.
Addressing a prayer into the air in the shadows of satellites. So nobody heard. Love's not for words in a world at the end of its night.
They are perhaps one of my all-time favorites. I started to say maybe my all-time favorite, but they are certainly one of my all-time favorite bands. Counting Crows, 2012 record, Underwater Sunshine. The name of this song is All My Failures. This lead singer, he fought depression. I'm certain he has sought some professional help, and you'd think, come on, man, these cats, they're highly successful. Write really good songs. The guy's got a really unique voice, sings with a ton of passion. What's he afraid of? I don't know, but he's human, and so he is afraid of something, just like you, just like me. If it's made by Counting Crows, you should buy it. I'm just saying.
So wherever I'm bound, my ear to the ground, and my thoughts on their way back to you, as eternity
slave. Well, you can write that on my grave. When I'm finished resisting its truth, I'm shaking hands with darkness. It's where that I haven't let my failures hit me yet.
Are you a bridge watcher? A bridge watcher. I am. I absolutely am. Didn't realize it until recent. Well, yeah, I didn't realize it to the degree that it was true until recently, I guess. But I am definitely, a bridge watcher. What's a bridge watcher? A bridge watcher is somebody who looks closely at the bridge that takes you to where you hope to go. Is that you? You know, the funny thing is, I have a lifelong phrase that my best friend and I have said for as long as I can remember. Build a bridge and get over it. In fact, I created a graphic a week or so ago and I shared it on Twitter. I'm putting it in the show notes. Just go to the website, leaningtowardwisdom.com, and just find the episode 4085, depending on when you're listening to this. It'll be the most recent if you're listening in real time, but that's the great thing about podcasting. It's on your time. You have complete control over this, just like your TV watching and everything else in your life these days. Bridge watcher is a person that just looks really closely at the bridge that is the vehicle to get you where you want to go. So I created this graphic, put it on Twitter, and it just says, focus on what's on the other side of the bridge, not the bridge. In fact, I created two graphics about bridges and I shared them both, and they were both intended as kind of one sentence sermons to myself. I didn't do them for you. I did them because I knew I needed to hear the message. I'm not a big fan of that whole burn the boats mindset. You've heard that. You know, just go all in, leap and the net will appear, that kind of a mindset. Not a big fan. But I am an enormous fan of building the bridge and getting over it, whatever it represents, whether it's a boat or a bridge. It's just a vehicle to get us to where we want to go. Seems to me the only reason that I'd want to get back on the boat or the bridge is if where I went, it just didn't turn out to be as good as I had hoped, and so now I need to go back. Because if it's as good as you hope it is, why go back? But what if it's not? It looked like a good idea from over here, but now that I'm over here, you know, it's not as good as where I was. I think I want to go back. Well, if you've burned the boats or you've burned the bridge, you can't go back. It presupposes that going back is a bad thing. I'm just telling you, I don't think it always is. Failure, like success, is relative. I have set out to achieve something I wanted to achieve, and sometimes I found out it wasn't what I had hoped. How do you know till you get there? You think you know, but it's not always the way you thought it would be. Okay, is that failure? I don't think so, but other people might. Is it success? Well, in my case, I sometimes reached my goal, so you could consider that a success, but the goal, it didn't turn out as I hoped. So that's not quite success. Yeah, there are all these adjustments that we make in life, and without them, without these adjustments, we would all be doomed to just keep making the same mistakes over and over. Instead, we act, we adjust, and then we act again. It's this constant effort of figuring things out. In the past month, I've experienced some mental clarity brought about by working hard to gain some self-awareness. I have felt like I always had some strong sense of myself. I really have. I felt like I had a pretty good sense of who and what I am. For instance, I'm not prone to try to be somebody that I'm not. and I'm not prone to engage in activity that doesn't ideally suit me. I will tell you, I have tried it a few times in my life, especially when I was younger, and it just never worked out well. I hated every second of it. Now, you've probably done that too. You know, tried to be somebody that you knew deep down you weren't, but for some reason you figured it's worth a shot. You know, maybe somebody else, you saw somebody else, or you saw some other group of people, or maybe you had it romanticized in your head that it would be a certain way, but didn't turn out that way. My hatred for that activity is not like other hatred that I've had. I've had jobs that I hated. I've had situations that I hated. I've been surrounded by people that, well, no, I didn't hate them, but I didn't like them very much. But that doesn't mean that I woke up every day dreading the work. You know, I can handle lots of things, but being inauthentic is not one of them. It just wrecks me. It wrecks me to even attempt it.
I guess I just got lost being someone else. I tried to kill the pain, nothing ever helped. I left myself behind somewhere along the way, hoping to come back around to find myself someday. Lately I'm so tired of waiting for you to say that it's okay. But tell me, please, will you one time just let me be myself so I can shine with my own light? Now let me be myself.
Yeah, they're Three Doors Down. Not a real popular band. Are Three Doors Down, are they kind of considered like Nickelback? Those bands that people kind of love to hate. Three Doors Down, this is a 2008 record. I think it's their first one because it's just called Three Doors Down. The Best Inside. Wait, I'm off. No, it's not. It's called Let Me Be Myself. I'm sorry. Oh man, the lack of lung capacity is catching up with me. He says as he hits the mute button and coughs loudly. No, you didn't hear that because I took it out. Three Doors Down, Let Me Be Myself. Let Me Be Myself is really, and this is a good record. I don't care what you say. It's a good record. I like this record. And I like this song. I like the message that it conveys. I think there's something to us trying to give ourselves permission to be ourselves. I've looked back and realized that every time that I am trying to be something that I'm not, mostly every time that I'm trying to be the word that the world uses today in the internet is authenticity. But if I'm not being authentic, it just does not work for me. I can't be somebody that I'm not. I'm not a very good actor, period. People are still searching for ways to overcome their fears, and I'm right there with you. It's a universal desire because, well, it's universal pain. Everybody's afraid. And sometimes we're just not very good at dealing with our fears. We're not very good at dealing with our anxiety and our frustrations and our dread. So let's talk about some things that we can do to serve ourselves. And I'll share with you a few things that I've learned. I'm not going to go deep into these today. I want to do what we always do here. I want to provoke you to think. Number one, our story matters. Yes, our real story matters. All that stuff that has happened to us, but mostly the story in our head. The story we tell ourselves. For many of us, that story is on a continuous, endless loop tape. It just repeats itself over and over and over without interruption. And no, it's not always bad. It's not always a de-energizing story, but very often times it is. Some experts call it perspective. Others call it characters, as in these characters that we can assume. It's kind of part of us, but when you're angry, for instance, your temper may flare. That's the angry character. That's the angry version of you. Does that properly depict you all the time? Well, let's hope not. Call it whatever you would like. It's all the same thing. It's how we view ourselves in the world. We get wrapped up. We get filled with emotions based on how we see ourselves and how we see things playing out, how we let our imaginations put us in these situations, and we fast forward to some conclusion. And based on that conclusion, based on that loop, we attach these emotions to these things. Anxiety, fear, concern, worry, they can fill us up when we're facing some situations. Right now, there's something that does that to you. Right now, there is something that, if you think about it, it causes you, it fills you with dread, it fills you with anxiety, it fills you with fear. What is it? What is it? Maybe there are a number of things. Maybe there are a number of situations. Maybe there are a number of circumstances that do that to you. You tell yourself some story, and you don't even think about it consciously. It's just an automatic internal thing that triggers some strong negative emotions. It's how you're looking at things. Some of the best examples to demonstrate this deal with our failure to see what's really happening with somebody else. We see something and we make a judgment. Enter new information, and suddenly, instantly, our view changes. Clarity does that. His name is David Bearwald, B-A-E-R-W-A-L-D, David Bearwald. I know, it's 80s, 90s sound, but I like it. Name of the record is Bedtime Stories. It's a 1990 record. Name of the song is The Best Inside You. And that's what we're hoping to get, I think, always, the best inside us. We want to bring out our best. This is a good record, and you should buy it. I know it's time capsule kind of stuff. I like it.
You're desperate enough for repentance. The best inside you.
David Bearwald, let's say that you see a person wearing dirty, tattered clothes. All right, you see a street person. This person obviously, they are down and out. And the person obviously has not bathed in some time. You make some instant assumptions about this person. Maybe you think they're a drunk. Maybe you think they're a drug addict. You certainly don't assume that they've lived any kind of a responsible life. You're not sorry for him. Instead, you're kind of repulsed by him. And you think to yourself, what a pitiful sight. Suddenly, you see a smartly dressed middle-aged woman approach the man. She talks with him briefly. She hands him a small brown bag and a cup of coffee. And he seems to know her. She pats him on the shoulder and she walks away. Now she's coming towards you. Well, your curiosity is heightened. And as she gets closer to you, you just can't resist. And you say, ma'am, excuse me, but I noticed you giving that man some coffee and food. Can I ask why you did that? And she proceeds to tell you that she's been doing that for a few months now because he's a man who's clearly suffering some mental issues. And she says he's clearly suffered some trauma in his life. And then she informs you that she discovered that he was a Purple Heart recipient in the Vietnam War. Been living in a shelter downtown since she has become aware of him. She knows his name, and she even made some phone calls to see what help she might be able to get him. But so far, she's been unsuccessful in battling the red tape because, well, she's not a relative. She hasn't been able to find a relative. In that instant, faster than you could snap your fingers, your view of him has just changed, hasn't it? Yeah, it's exactly right. It's exactly right. And so it is with the stories in our head. Perspective changes everything, and it changes it in an instant, in a flash. Number two, the story isn't always true, just like our Vietnam vet. Yeah, sometimes we get it wrong. But it's not about the man on the street, is it? No. No, it's about us. It's about the man in the mirror.
Wait a minute, baby. Don't leave just yet. See, I can explain, darling. But it looks like the more I talk, the madder you get. See, it's not what you think it is. Trust me, I wouldn't do you no harm. She means nothing to me. And the whole time I was imagining it was you in my arms. You in my arms. And I was wrong. And I admitted my explanation. Well, they don't seem to get it. I was wrong. And my heart can't take it. If you leave me now, I'm not gonna make it. I'm not gonna make it through.
He is the great, the wonderful Keb Moe, a 1998 CD. Name of the record is Slow Down. The name of the song is I Was Wrong. Well, now, he was wrong. He clearly was wrong. And he's making excuses to his woman for being in the arms of another woman, but hey, nonetheless, let's not get wrapped up in the details, okay, of the song. The title of the song tells you everything you need. I was wrong. I looked at this fellow on the street. I saw his disheveled appearance, and I made some assumptions about him, and I was wrong. We do the same thing in our head. We do it about ourselves. Because sometimes, like Keb is singing, we're wrong. Our self-awareness isn't accurate, and we need to fix it. I've read tons of books, I've read tons of articles about this, and I'm not qualified to play psychologist, but I could recommend some resources for you to check out. If you just go to Amazon.com and search the phrase inner critic, inner, I-N-N-E-R, critic, you will see tons and tons of books. I'm assuming some of them can shed light on how to change that story that you're telling yourself. Or you could seek professional help. It's not hocus-pocus stuff. It's just enlightenment. The same thing that happened when we learned the truth about the old man on the street. It didn't require an all-day seminar. It didn't require a workshop. That's the remarkable thing. It can be altered in an instant. Now, getting that truth that the woman provided for us, that can be more difficult. I mean, that can take some heavy lifting that honestly, I don't think most people give it. And it may take us a long time to get there, but that's okay. Get started. Start doing the work, because if you don't, you're going to remain wrong. And being wrong will wreck your opportunities to be all that you can be. Give me one more chance. Imagine if you're really great at something, but you're just not aware of it yet because that story that is stuck in your head, it stands in your way. And so you haven't even tried. What a waste, right? We can be our own worst enemy. Most of the time, I know, I honestly believe that I have been my own worst enemy. The universe wasn't against me. Other people weren't against me. I was against myself. I just didn't see it at the time for what it was. Does that resonate with you? Nashville-based alternative band. Well, they're really electronic pop kind of guys. The name of the group is Paper Route. $5.99. Really inexpensive. This is a 2009 record called Absence. The name of the song is Enemy Among Us. And there's the rub. Yeah. It often is the enemy among us. Don't let this happen to you. Don't fall for the pathetic money grab out there by authors and experts who tell you that you should just be able to think positively and write little trite phrases on your bathroom mirror telling yourself how wonderful you are and that you can do this, the little engine that could and all that. And that today you're going to be a champ. Today Peyton Manning's a champ. Cam Newton is not, and Cam Newton's having a real tough time with it. That drivel only makes matters worse because you may have tried those things in the past. They don't work except to make you feel like a bigger failure. See, I can't even make these strategies work, you tell yourself, and so the fear deepens. It's not because you're weak. It's because you're doing what the herd is urging you to do, and it doesn't work. Oh, well, it does work at some level in that it sells books, it sells programs, but it's ineffective. It's short-sighted. You've got to get to the root of the issue, and that demands more work than reciting some positive statements. Don't trifle with it by thinking that it shouldn't be that hard. It is that hard. And because it's so rewarding, it should be that hard. You already know how powerful it is in your life. So lean into it and embrace the hard work necessary to rewrite your story. I'll give you just one book recommendation so as not to leave you hanging. Mind Works, a practical guide for changing thoughts, beliefs, and emotional reactions by Gary Van Warmerdam. I found it especially practical and helpful, and I think you may too. Links to it are at the show notes. It's time to shift those little gears in our head that prevent us from being everything we can be. Time to conquer our fears, not with sheer willpower or catchy phrases, but with a strategy that really works. Time to get real with ourselves. You know it's time. Today's the day. My name's Randy Cantrell. Welcome inside the Yellow Studio. It was back in 1991. I was visiting my parents, who at the time were living in Ada, Oklahoma, and I went to a Hastings bookstore. It's funny how you can remember these things. Went to a Hastings bookstore and noticed this record that I did not know was out. They had it on sale, and so I bought it. He's an Englishman. His name is Richard Thompson. I had a good friend. Yeah, he's still a friend. We haven't seen each other in a long, long time, but I had a really close friend back in the day named Richard Thompson. And he had a wife named Linda as well at one time. Richard and Linda Thompson. Well, Richard and Linda Thompson in the UK. They were once married and once a duo. I always found that kind of comical. I know it doesn't mean anything to you. Richard Thompson, a 1991 record called Rumor and Sigh. And I really, really, really have enjoyed this CD. But I like this guy. And for some, maybe he's an acquired taste. But I'm going to play a song from that CD called Rumor and Sigh by Richard Thompson. And the name of the song is I Feel So Good. When you overcome fear and you overcome some adversity and you gain some clarity about yourself and some things that are standing in your way and you gain some clarity about what it is you really want to do, why you want to do it, and you're willing to commit to doing that, I think, Richard sings it really well. I mean, I feel so good, don't you? I feel so good when that happens. Unfortunately, I've not done enough of that in my life, and I'm encouraging you today to do more of it. Again, you can find all the stuff about today's show over at the website, leaningtowardwisdom.com. I have one call to action. Go to the website, and at the top, you'll see Facebook group. You'll see in the navigation, and if you're on your phone, it works. If you're on an iPad, it works. If you're on a tablet, it works. If you're on a desktop, it works. Go to leaningtowardwisdom.com, and in the navigation, just click on Facebook group. That will knock on the door. to the Facebook group, which is a closed private group, and I will let you in. And as long as you behave yourself, I'll let you stay in. So I'd like to have you there. In the meanwhile, enjoy Richard Thompson, and I hope you have a good week.
Somebody's heart tonight. I feel so good, I'm gonna take someone apart tonight.